Connor Parker, present. Steve Martinez, present.
Kathy Egan, present.
The mayor's present.
Karen Ward, present.
Greg Jones, present.
Thank you very much. And at this time, let's have a pledge of allegiance. And Gary, how about leading us in the pledge of allegiance?
Certainly. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Gary. Are there any added agenda items?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I believe at the last meeting I requested item be added to this month's agenda for the report of the skate park.
Yes.
And I don't see it on here. Could we put that under item?
Can you speak up, please?
You have to talk into the mic, not to talk sideways.
I believe last month I asked for an item to be added for this month's for a report on the skate park. Would that be added to the added agenda items, please?
And the just progress of skate park.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, are there any other? Hearing none, I'll move on to consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with the bill to Wilderness Garbage.
Okay, thank you very much. Anything else? Any questions about the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Let the record reflect the consent agenda has been approved unanimously. Thank you very much. At this time, we'll have public comment. Is there any public comment at this time?
Mr. Mayor, this one isn't working. That's fine. Clear.
Push the red button.
Oh, the red button is pushing. I'm not sure why it's doing what it's doing, but okay. Anyway, tonight we have with us, and you can hear me without a microphone. But I want you to introduce, he was down there working on some papers, but the young man right here, Mike Ward, is a new city employee, starts on Monday, and I thought he could come up and he could tell you about himself, but he's going to work at Public Works, and he's a little tiny kid, so we're happy to get someone on board, and Scott's happy to have his crew full, so okay. Why don't you just walk up this way a little bit? He's not a public speaker, but you know he's not shy.
Is it Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, just say a few things about yourself and.
I'll just say, as of Monday, I'll be working under Scott. I'm pretty excited to be able to have an opportunity at a career in my hometown, because this is somewhere I want to stay. And it's been pretty difficult commuting back and forth to Bend, so I'm really excited to have this opportunity.
When did you graduate from high school?
2009.
2009?
Yeah.
Lapine.
Yep.
All right. Council?
I welcome you. It's good to have you here, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you more.
He went to lineman school, so you tell about your lineman. He's got a CDL and some of the things that we haven't had.
Yep. I attended Volta Lineman School in spring 2011, because that was my prior career path, was to get into to be a lineman. Since then, things have kind of adjusted, and I just figured I would stay put where I've always been, just in utilities. I've worked in communications for the past 4 years with a contractor and with Bend Broadband. And I generally just like working in utilities.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Again, welcome aboard. And I think you've got a good crew to work with over there and a lot of potential.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
As Mr. Mayor, I can tell you he was a wonderful person to interview. He impressed, I think, everyone that was on the interview panel. And he does bring a CDL to the job, which I don't believe, Scott, any of our other public works people have a CDL, which is a...
Not currently, no.
Currently, yeah. Which would be very beneficial as the city grows. So, yeah, Mike did a very good job through the interview process.
Thank you. Item number 7 is a request for funding, Lapine Rodeo Association. And if you'll come right up here and talk to us.
Okay. Can you hear me, or do you want me to get by the mic?
Go ahead and sit down.
Okay.
And push the red button.
How's that? Is that better?
That's better. And,
okay.
And council, I think you all have a package of the request, or a copy of the request in your package.
Do you want me to just start talking?
Please.
Okay. I'm Candy Yao, and I'm the president of the Lapine Rodeo Board. We have pretty much an entire new board this year, so it's pretty exciting, and there's a lot of changes, but we're still staying with the same small-town rodeo theme. There's 3 of us that were on the board for a year. It was our first year last year, me being one of them, and the rest of the board is entirely new. So we've got a lot to learn, and we've got a lot to do, and we get a little nervous and a little scared, but I think we're making a lot of progress. Our goal is to involve the community a whole lot more. That's what the rodeo is for, so that's what we're all about, doing more for the youth, having more play days, doing more community events throughout the entire year as long as the rodeo, which, as you know, is a 3-day event now. We have a Friday night, which is the 4th of July Buck and Boom, and then we have a 2-day rodeo Saturday and Sunday, the 5th and 6th of July. So, not sure what else you want to know about the rodeo.
I think tell us about your request.
Okay, yeah, we requested some funds from the city, and I believe the amount was $1,000. We have a lot of repairs. The bleachers in particular are in bad disarray. We're going to have to replace like over 36 boards. The bucking chutes, we have to re-weld and redo all the steps behind the bucking chutes for safety reasons. There's a lot of panels that need moved, a lot of the big posts to hold all the panels up. It's just sort of all starting to fall apart. You know, there's a lot of other repairs too. We don't have a reader board. I could go on and on. There's no shade. We're using tarps. Our big concern this year is safety and putting on a good, safe rodeo for the entire community this year. And then hopefully we can build our sponsorship and get on our feet a little more where we can start adding and making it bigger and better in the years to come.
Okay. Council, any questions?
Last year when the association came, they said they were going to ask other sources for money. Do you know if that happened, and did any come from that?
I don't know what they did last year. I was brand new, so I wasn't up to speed on that. We have approached other avenues this year, but I am not a part of what those are other than just our main sponsorship.
Okay. And if you need more money, when were you planning to come back for it? Perhaps I misunderstood this, but it kind of left it open that you may need a little more money and you'd come back later if so?
I don't believe we'd do that this year.
Okay.
We believe it's our job now to get the sponsorship and make it work. Excuse me.
Okay.
So this is the request for this year.
Okay.
Yes.
Is this in addition to the money that we had? Is this in addition to the money that we have set aside for?
This is
previous. That one's worth it.
No, keep going. I'm talking to Scott.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wondered if this was in addition to the money we had planned on giving the Rodeo Association?
I guess that I've got a basic question around this whole thing is I know that last year when rodeo came, and I think it was
Gina
came, mm-hmm. and at that point they were asking it for X amount and then talked about some more things they needed to do, so we actually increased it last year. But I think we had asked the rodeo to put together a package, mm-hmm. and come to our budget meeting and present what they felt their needs were at that time. And this is a little, Rick, you want to help me out here about this is a $1,000 request. They're not going to come back, but should they come back? Because the budget is for next year?
Yeah. They're two different items. This is a $1,000 request for a rodeo that's in this July.
Okay.
What we will do in the budget process, they will be asked to come in, make a presentation for next year, and we'll actually line item budget. There's some councilmen that would like to have the rodeo and the other event.
Frontier Days.
I always want to say Great America. Frontier Days is going to be actual line item, so people see it.
Okay.
In there.
It sounds wonderful.
Okay. So we will be getting a hold of you, or you'll be, but it'll be in April sometime. But you're making a presentation for next year.
Okay. That'd be wonderful.
But for this year,
that
wasn't
that.
A requirement, and so this would just be a request. Communities, definitely, if you take the major events in their towns, I would say most every community financially supports them. Anywhere you go. So it's not anything unusual. And we do have money. We have not given out that much out of it. So it's not a financial issue, so it's just whether or not you guys want to support it.
And I see they have Deschutes County discretionary for the $1,500 we gave last year. So I wasn't sure of the title.
Well, last year, if it was $1,500 Deschutes County discretionary, that would have been a county request. Maybe they just got the wrong form, or you're looking at something that's...
Yeah.
The only one.
Conrad, do you have any input?
Yeah, I don't know how much room is in the budget. It seems like the rodeo is a pretty big thing here. I mean, I've never been to one, but I hear people talk about it. And I don't know where we're at in our budget, because I miss a lot of budget meetings. But I think if it's doable, it's a pretty good thing.
Okay. Stu, any comments?
Just clarification. This is just a request. This is not the city being a sponsor.
That's correct. This is a request. Okay.
Thank you.
Karen, any comments?
I need to understand whether or not it's an addition to what we've already done, or whether it is a beginning for out of next year's budget.
It's for this year's budget.
Right now.
And the money's in there, and we haven't given up any money out of this budget.
Okay. Great. Anything else?
That'll be enough, for sure.
I really appreciate the idea of bringing your financials.
Oh, thank you.
And then your list of what you're going to do with it. I think it's important when public monies get spent that it goes for what it was designed for.
Right. I agree.
You come and ask for something, we're going to do this with it, and then later, I think the public gets jittery when later on they find out that it was spent for something else totally.
Right.
So that's where some of the concern comes, but I really like how you've done this. And,
thank you.
And I think there was something in here about, tell us about how it all came out later. Did I see that?
Oh, most definitely. We're starting to work Saturday. The ground's finally unfrozen enough, we can start tearing down broken stuff and repairing, so.
So you're ready for some money?
Sure.
That's the category.
I think maybe some of the confusion is we just kind of set some limits out there, supposing they want this much, because
And I think that's where some of the confusion about thinking about how much we're giving them and what's going on. So we're good. And you did a good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
So are we...
Any further comments? I'll entertain a motion to approve the $1,000 to the rodeo as requested.
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Let the record reflect that it was unanimous by the council, and I'm sure that having heard the words, our student advisor had, he was for it too.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Conrad, I certainly hope you make it to the rodeo this year.
Find him a job.
Yeah. Okay.
You get in free that way. Okay. Presentation by Gary Albert you know, I keep hearing about that EDCO, but it's not EDCO. It's the LED group, so.
Well, he's an EDCO employee.
I know, but.
Just so you know, you'll get it about every 3 to 4 months. It's in our agreement. So this is nothing special. He didn't call down to say, I have something unique for you tonight. This is will be a quarterly type thing that you will find on the agenda for an update of the previous 3 months. And this is kind of the first time. So that's why Jerry's here.
Okay.
I'm really nervous. I hope I pass the audition. So I'm Jerry Albert. I'm positive I know everybody on the council, for those of you from the community. I work for Economic Development of Central Oregon in a position that was joint funded by the City of Lapine, the City Council, and the County of Deschutes to help with economic and business development for the area. And I've been on the job just around 5 months, and I've done a short little report format, or sort of a progress status format. If this can be passed around for the council, please. Thank you. So. This is, I think I, have 15 minutes on the agenda, and I think I have 13 bullet points, so I'm going to talk really fast, but I'd like to just sort of touch on some of the highlights. There's clearly more to the story than this, but I certainly do want to make sure I leave room for questions and further, conversation or elaboration that you might be interested in, several different of these topics. So I'm just going to try and keep it quick and, sort of light at the top end. So. Got started, right after I had started the job in mid-October. Shortly afterwards, we had the Economic Vitality Summit, and I bring that in now since I think we're primarily focused on January, February in this particular, summary. But there's been some ongoing relationship building with a couple of the sponsors or entities that were involved in the Economic Vitality Summit. That's RDI, Rural Development, Inc. We're engaged with them in sort of a we did this first one. We had quite an enthusiastic community response with 100 attendees, and a lot of folks were interested in, well, where do we go from here? What do we do next? And I've been working with several community leaders and community, sort of involved participants, including Dan Varco and Kathy DeBone, particularly as well as with Rick, to understand what his plans are and in association with the council here for sort of, Lapine, the city of Lapine, and have started taking to, sort of creating a little differentiation between sort of the core city with in regards to some of the urban modernization, urban renewal plans that are under consideration and sort of in the pipeline. With also referencing the Wickiup Junction or North Lapine area, which would have been a little farther on the time horizon, and there had been some immediate problem areas that caused a lot of attention, and as well as some opportunities. I think wherever there's a problem or an issue, there's an opportunity lurking behind it somewhere, and ODOT coming in and proposing to spend, now that they've approved the budget, $17 million on the highway project there sort of represents some opportunity. So I'll touch on that a little bit more, briefly further into this. But my main focus has been in the, trying to do some preliminary recruitment and sort of understand what assets we have to work with around the industrial park on the east side of town. And was able to generate one lead for a small data center. They have a business model that has them start in sort of a modular fashion, and they build a certain capacity and make sure they have the customer demand to be able to fill up that capacity, and then add on a little more and a little more as they have more customer traction. And that's gone well so far. They're actually have been interested in actually securing a purchase option on two of the parcels immediately south of Midstate Electric. And I won't be naming names, as deals are still sort of in development due to confidentiality concerns, but if and where we either have a public, a deal that's already been done, that's public record, there may be names referenced later in this report, so I won't mention their name, but that is proceeding forward. I just got them all of the information they need to be able to secure an option agreement with the county. There's another point related to that that I'll come back to momentarily. And then we have, I guess that's the next point that I was going to make. Working with Rick and the Lapine Economic Development Group that I sort of report to, we came up with an idea. We became aware of an arrangement, an intergovernmental agreement called an IGA that the city of Redmond had done with the county of Deschutes 10 years ago in 2004 regarding industrial property in their area. And they worked an interesting deal that gave the city local control to market and sell that property. And they had some parameters involved in the deal. I don't think it's worth going into all that detail here. But we were looking to model a similar deal, sort of as in to allow the city of Lapine and any designated representation to become sort of the agent of record, because the county moves kind of slowly. They're not really quite as responsive as we would like them to be when business people come along and want to know what sort of things could be done and what pricing we're looking at. And they're not really doing anything to list or market the property, and we would like to be able to have more influence over that. And so EDCO had agreed to draft a legal agreement based on a variety of key objectives and points that had been identified with Rick's help and the Economic Development Group. We've sent that over to EDCO Legal, who are in the process of drafting, creating a first draft agreement that we'll be approaching the county with to see if they're open to letting us market the industrial property and have a revenue sharing sort of pricing arrangement above a certain cost threshold. Now, the third point I would make is we also have a second lead. The first lead I came up with myself through some networking, business networking, but the second lead was an inquiry that came into EDCO, and it's a fairly large construction company with offices in about half a dozen states. They're involved in a lot of different construction projects. In fact, they were selected, I guess I wasn't going to name names, but they were just awarded a large contract in Bend for a project. And they also do data center scouting. Essentially, the big companies like those that landed in Prineville typically retain firms who scout around different geographies and territories and go through some fairly sophisticated analysis before choosing a community and a site to host a data center. And this particular company works with a few of the large ones like Yahoo and Microsoft, and they're doing some analysis. It's going to be 3 to 6 months before they complete that analytical cycle, but we did host them in town. As has been the case, the Midstate folks did a fantastic job, and we are in the running. They already eliminated a couple of the Central Oregon communities that were one of three. They're still sort of in the running, but it will be later this summer before we really know whether that one's going to go our direction or not. And I had those listed under sort of a highlights area. There's a couple of lowlights. I don't know that it's a huge consideration, but if you're interested in some of the things that I'm involved with and exploring, let's say, as a business development opportunity or economic opportunity. One of those was I was made aware of a $4 billion grant available through the Federal Communications FCC at the federal level that was promoting high-speed internet gigabit speed internet capability to rural America, because with the federal government's help and the major internet carriers, they've really sort of done a fantastic job in the big metropolitan city areas and with large-scale commercial corporations, big government agencies all have the very high-speed internet, not measured in megabits, but in hundreds of megabits, or a gigabit is 1,000 megabits. So that's very high-speed. You can basically do anything possible in terms of video, motion, internet conferencing, movie downloads, whatever, from consumer to professional kinds of uses. And there is a focus now at the federal government because they realize that rural communities are underserved, either don't have it or it's very expensive. And this kind of a grant scenario was essentially going to defray up to 80% of the cost to bring that to small businesses in rural communities as well as to to people's homes. We had gone through an evaluation with Midstate on that. They decided it really didn't fit their business model at this time, and so they had elected not to participate. And in a second similar category, the state Department of Transportation had partnered with the U.S. Department of Transportation and created a $4 million grant pool of money related to clean air initiatives, reduced emissions, and that kind of thing. And we had gone through an exploratory cycle to see if that related in this particular case about the potential to bring compressed natural gas to commercial truckers, because there's a growing movement to get off of diesel and get commercial truckers onto a clean energy source like compressed natural gas. That's got a lot of push from the federal government. There is momentum happening in the business sector around that, but after some fairly detailed, we had arranged meetings because Gordy and his daughter, who run the truck stop in town, had expressed a potential interest in offering this service with the understanding that to supplement what they're doing now for commercial truckers. But we got together yesterday, in fact, with the Department of Transportation. The Department of Energy was represented. Commissioner DeBone participated. We also had the Department of Environmental Air Quality. So we got quite a who's who's roster, because as it turns out, the Department of Transportation is highly interested in seeing a network of service capability, refueling capabilities around natural gas develop along 97, because there's existing now an extensive network that runs along I-5, essentially from Mexico to Canada. The closest one to us would be in Medford, but there's nothing along 97. And so that means commercial truckers are limited to diesel, the diesel trucks, and anybody that are moving over in Freightliner, Volvo, all of the big truck manufacturers are offering this capacity now. But anybody that's running those, particularly a lot of the large fleet trucks that would be from a Walmart or a Safeway or a lot of those kind of organizations, are switching over because of the economics are very attractive to them at a much lower price per unit of gallon, essentially, if you were to compare it to that. So nevertheless, we took a look at it. It wasn't going to work out. It was originally projected to be potentially in the $1 million range with a 50 to 60% sort of offset through matching grant funds and tax credits. But as it turns out, it was going to end up being closer to between $2 and $3 million net total cost to deliver this capacity, because there's a lot of expensive things, particularly since natural gas doesn't exist up where the truck stop is. Cascade Natural Gas would have had an expensive, extensive project effort to create a new transverse pipeline for 2.5 miles to deliver that service capability, plus the compressor deliver equipment requirements. So that didn't work out either, but there's still a possibility, because the DOT, ODOT, does have a high interest in developing a regional network of refueling stations that are capable of either doing what they call LNG, liquid natural gas, or compressed natural gas. So it was sort of deferred, and we still might have a chance to participate potentially in an even bigger program. But we decided after reviewing it yesterday that we're going to go back and see about doing some more analytics with all of those organizations involved. I'm going to take a quick breath. I didn't check exactly what time I started, but I'm going to kind of try and zip through here. So that was the low light areas.
10 minutes so far, and you're halfway down the list. So you're going to be a 20-minute presentation.
No, just watch me. So you probably mostly heard of BioGreen. That's a project that got started, the council had approved a number of years ago. It's never gotten off the ground. It's been sort of tough to get a hold of anybody associated with that recently. They have indicated a preference to request a fourth extension of the option that they have on the property there. And both our economic development group, along with Rick, and the Deschutes County property manager are going to be going through some analysis to sort of figure out, is this real, or are they just sort of stringing things along? You know, do they really have a viable, you know, business proposition, or has everything changed entirely and they're just sort of automatically renewing? So we're going to be undertaking that review. The current option exists through June of this year, and that's an analysis we're going to start tomorrow. But we're going at it a little bit skeptically, with the sense that they really sort of need to establish with us that they are serious about doing something, and if they're not serious about doing something, I suspect our communication is going to be along the lines of, you know, come back and see us when you are. I've been now regularly engaged with the Chamber, and they have an economic development team. It's been largely pretty inactive, I think, according to most people's opinions, and I've been contributing in sort of an advisory capacity, and we have some sort of exciting plans in the hopper and in the pipeline, but this venue doesn't provide enough time to really get into that in any detail. We are, however, I would mention, working with the Chamber and have kick-started a process that I call Project Wiki Upgrade. I sort of like the name because I come out of high tech, but it does tie back into sort of a modernization effort. The general theme is to, you know, we have proposed the creation of a consortium or a business association of North Lapine businesses that are in the WikiUp area for three main purposes. The first is to engage with ODOT on a more organized basis as a community of businesses instead of just individuals, ideally to make sure that their concerns for things like turning lanes and, you know, whether there are the opportunities for landscape or other kinds of amenities and improvements, and working with ODOT as a group as opposed to individual businesses. I think there's an advantage there because while it's an exciting prospect, it's also likely to be very disruptive in terms of access to the businesses there during the period of construction. We want to try and minimize the potential for customer loss and revenue disruption for those businesses. There are a couple of other things that relate back to the programs I talked to at the beginning about RDI and Oregon Main Street and a few of those kind of programs. Main Street is a statewide program that's run under Parks and Rec that's a potential assistive funding source or a potential source for technical assistance, because the second phase of involvement for the North End businesses we're going to be exploring through this association, and it has been met initially with great enthusiasm, relates back to trying to do landscaping and building basement upgrades and some of that kind of thing. So we'll be looking at a variety of different potential funding sources there. It goes a little further, but into the potential to explore funding sources through an event that RDI are hosting next month in Bend, April 26th, called Wealth Works, that I'm going to be participating in, a number of other principals involved in this effort will be participating in, because they have five different grant funding sources, and they're going to be essentially communicating with communities such as ours about the potential for Project X, Y, or Z to be able to access these grant funds. And we're envisioning the potential of something along the lines of a Newberry workshop or Newberry community workshop scenario, and potentially construct a facility that can be made available to artists and inventors, and then showcase their work as well as give them a workspace to be able to create native local art as well as the potential inventions. So I touched on the summit. The rest of the stuff is sort of, you know, sort of some of the day in blocking and tackling. You know, I'm in communication with a lot of businesses and exploring new options or new opportunities. I'd like to pass this around too, if you just want to take a look at one of those and pass it around. But it's one of the deliverables. We are starting to get a little bit of traction with a few businesses now, and we're sort of reaching the point where they're asking for some reference information on Lapine as an economic environment and a good place to do business. So I'm working on the creation of a Lapine profile, which is a publication that EDCO does for other communities, Bend, Prineville, Redmond, Madras. I'm also working on a brochure for the industrial park that will be sort of tailored around the data center space, since that's the leads that we're getting. If I was getting something for textile manufacturing, I'd do it for that, but I'm not getting any, you know, inquiries for that, so if we can take a look at that when we come to it. But that comes to the end of my piece. How did I do?
Well, you might ask if there's any questions.
Well, I was just going to get there. I just want to make sure I got the end of my piece. That was as fast as I could go through it. Sorry, folks.
Any questions, Council?
Oh, I guess he's saying go that way for questions.
I got two no's down here, so I'm looking this way.
No, I'm looking at him. I think it's wonderful. This, you know, there's movement going on, and I've been looking forward to this for a long time. So I appreciate the work and everything you're doing. And I think good things are going to come from this.
I would ask for a little patience. I look at this as really sort of a 3 to 5 year effort to just put a little bit of time parameters on it, because we're largely starting from ground zero. EDCO's focus and what we're really trying to do is create some industrial business utilization around the park over on the east side, which relates to jobs and companies that export goods and services. That means they import profits and wages back into the community, so we've got new money coming in that allows us to do more as a community. I am, however, selectively trying to get involved in some of the commercial businesses and service sector things on a basis where it seems like that might help upgrade some of the amenities offered through the community or by the community, particularly as that helps with the industrial recruitment. But even though I look at a 3 to 5 year timeline, I'm hoping, you know, I'm sort of more aggressive with the goals I set for myself personally, and I'm looking at 18 months to really try and have some points on the scoreboard. And so I'm about a third of the way into that right now.
Okay. Stu?
Yeah, Jerry, I've heard everything that BioGreen, the gigabit utility, the data center, all of you said didn't pan out.
Would you say that
down here, you have at the very bottom, in progress, or the Pine Economic related website. You know, these are things that are in progress now.
Yes.
The positive side. These are happening right now.
Yes, I've got drafts as works in progress of each one of these things, and the website, the city website and EDCO's website are both undergoing significant redos, you know, basically almost ground up. And I need to do, you know, I'm sort of due for a second draft version. I've done a first draft and circulated that for feedback and commentary to several principals. I've got some demographic information that Rick and I both got that had been commissioned by one of the business owners in the area that I'm going to use to help construct the Lapine profile, like the samples that you're seeing there for Prineville and other communities.
Okay, but also down here that I didn't hear, excuse me, is the Newberry Motel expansion, pre-owned auto sales lot. Multiplex theater, is that ongoing?
Yeah, those are, you know, ones where, you know, Rick, so because my primary focus is industrial, that's sort of a few examples of where I'm sort of looking. You know, if I either find myself involved with, or I may involve, you know, may be asked to help in some lightweight way. So it's not like a significant project I would consider that I own, but maybe there is something that I can facilitate or help with. And those are each, you know, opportunities in progress. And the motel one, I think you can see the construction's already started. The auto lot one is a contact that, you know, I had made, and Rick and I met with them, and He's actually, I think his wife is a Lapine native, and he's lived here for years and works for an auto dealership in Bend and is interested in opening, I think, this summer once they select the land.
Yeah, actually, there's just as a case study. That one, you found him, he found you somehow, but anyway, he called you. And so then Jerry asked me to meet them. So I did and talked about his concept. And then we talked about possible locations. This is the way it should all work. And so before they put any money down, before they rent a place, you talk about our codes and all the different things. He and I talked on the phone today. And I think there's a place for him. And I then called the owner of that property, talked to the owner. And then see, we have to be careful because I don't give that name to that name. I had to first see if the parties wanted to talk, but not tell them who the parties were, see? And so then once you get the go-ahead on that, you know, so they probably, I'm assuming today or tomorrow, they may talk. So that may be moving forward. But it's another kind of younger guy that lives here in Lapine. He's got a wife and I think a kid down here. And
seems to have the right credentials.
He's inside the city limits. He actually himself lives inside the city limits. His dad is in the auto business and sold a used car, pre-owned car. He kept correcting me when I said used cars.
That's the way I put it.
Pre-owned cars. They're not used. He's going to, I think that will happen. So I think the reason Jerry spent more time is, it's normal. The successes, you just run through them because, yeah, we're doing those. The other stuff, these are more complicated. But the role that Jerry plays in this, bringing and sitting here with professional people talking to him, does make a difference. And you try to avoid pitfalls for him. And this young man's been very thankful. And he's texted me and all kinds of things. He's trying to figure out what he has to do. And so Deborah and I talked today. You know, he's got to do a site plan app and the fee, and so he'll be doing that. He asked me today whether he could put his home address down for his original license. And I said, yes, however, you cannot sell a car off of it. So see, you always got to be thinking ahead because I think if you just say, oh yeah, go ahead, well then, pretty soon you got five cars on the lot. No. His
yard.
and so him and I spent a lot of time on, he just wants that because it's a process with the state to get a license, and he needs an address. So I said, certainly, you can use your home address for it, but you cannot sell one car off of that house, or you and I are going to be at loggerhead. You give them the message straight up, look them in the eye, whatever it is, and you know what? They appreciate it. And he's legitimate. The ones that don't like that are the ones that have got a game to play, and they don't like running into someone that's going to call them on it.
And just maybe to help validate a little bit of that, you know, the young man was very sincere and you know, sort of upfront about, you know, wanting to offer affordable vehicles with some reliable service, you know, history and some servicing capability. Didn't want to, you know, sort of open up a fly-by-night shop and sell a few and, you know, take off and, you know, move to Klamath, you know, in 6 months or something. So, you know, I mean, I think there's a little bit of filtration. It's, you know, helpful to go through that too. And then on the last one, I mean, I don't know if there were more questions on that one.
No, I agree.
You know, on the multiplex theater is one that a realtor in the area made me aware of, and they are particularly big on additional demographics information and indicated that they built multiplex theaters around the state in other areas. They're looking at another community, you know, very far northwest of here, northeast of here, but you know, it's a larger community, but they already have two multiplexes in that. So I'm sort of helping with the demographics and with the realtor with sort of some community sales positioning, you know, us against this other Pendleton is sort of where he's looking to do one. And the word was, you know, if he chooses one, he's not going to do the other for some years to come, that he only does one of these every few years or so. And so, you know, there's sort of some background. I've been collecting demographics because, you know, at face value, if you look at the census and the sign coming in town, and you know, the demographics aren't really strong to be a business, you know, incentive unless you sort of, you know, start digging down underneath, and that's where this very detailed demographics report that was commissioned by one of the area businesses, you know, from somebody in Bend. It's, you know, the most comprehensive thing I've seen. It's got great information combined with some of the other stuff that I've put together. And so I'm in the process of crafting a report back to this prospective business. We'll see if it happens, but you know, if it doesn't, I'm sort of trying, when I say selective, I'm trying to pick opportunities also that even if the opportunity itself doesn't work out, having compiled that information will be useful in future engagements.
Then I hope it's not just numbers. Are you going out? I mean, here's an example right here. The youth in this community, are those reflected in that, what you're putting together for this person that's looking at building a movie theater?
So I've got to, input taken, received. I think I do appreciate that. This particular guy is looking for numbers first, and I've got to get him numbers that he, I think you know sort of the situation. He's raised that as his initial kind of barrier or interest point. And if we hit him with the right, you know, point on the numbers, then we get to that kind of a level of the conversation, and that's where I'm trying to take it.
Okay. I'm assuming he would look at, if I was putting a theater in, I just look at the enrollment in your school system.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what that was referring to.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm talking about the quality of our young men and women.
That whole age.
Oh, well, no, he'll take anybody.
Yeah. Anyone that's
taking me a dropout.
That sells a movie ticket.
Yeah.
It takes on $8.
Yeah. I can sell popcorn.
Yeah. Well, and I found the mid-state, you know, service zone is also just a really quick, handy number at 18,000. You know, I've been hearing that number kicked around, but I couldn't validate it through any of the public sources that provide information, but that's a really good one. There's also other reference material here in this report that, and I can't, because this was commissioned by somebody else, I can't copy and duplicate it, but I can, you know, because ETCO is a reference source in here that I got permission to be able to take excerpts from it. But that's what we're looking to try and do, is put together sort of an information, a community portfolio, if you will, that includes the demographics, it includes some brochures around some particular themes, it includes the profile that we'll do for Lapine that you saw for other communities. Because as we do sort of start reaching out more, I think we're taking a few early leads, trying to turn those leads into, you know, something real and bona fide, but in the same context, using that to try and find out, well, where should we zero in on time and effort to create sort of an information package? Because the next step is to start getting more aggressive about outreach, outbound, you know, attending trade events and industry events and that kind of thing. But you need to have something to market and communicate, you know, sort of as a handout at those kind of things. So that's about where we're at here, 5 months in.
Now, any further questions, Council? Very known. Gary, thank you very much for coming along, and we'll anticipate you again in 3 months.
Okay, we're moving on to...
Okay, we'll move on to approval, or the website demonstration.
No, discussion on the budget. Do we have any applicants?
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. So, we wanted you to know we are starting our budget here soon, but we put the ad out, we'll rerun it, but we haven't had an applicant.
I've asked two people. I'm waiting for an answer.
Yeah, what you should do is then have them call City Hall.
Yes, I will.
But so far, we'll, you know, I mean, just people that would want to be on the budget committee, it's like normal. People have a lot of issues, but then it's harder to get them to
step up.
Yeah. So anyway, if you know anyone, we'll put the budget together without one. I mean, we won't.
Sure.
We'll have to. So, just okay. One, I didn't know if we had anyone that was there to a point that sounds like not.
Okay. Any other comments?
Is there any other places we could advertise, maybe put it in the couple of the other, right now?
I think Patty only puts it in the Wise Buys and the Eagle, but I don't know where she puts it.
No, that's
so I could ask her and explore that. Can we put it on the website?
Yeah, and then another thing we could put on that, just chat, does the cable TV have a thing that spins around or kind of?
Channel three, four,
whatever it is.
Four.
Yeah, we could get a PSA on there.
Okay.
Do they need to live within the city to be on the budget? I thought they could be.
I believe so, because it's a you're in the city. It's equal the number of council people, and what's her name? Mrs. Stefan. She lived at the edge of the city.
She lived in Glenwood Acres.
Yes, the, you know.
Oh, Renee.
Renee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that makes it a little harder, see, when you have to be in the city because it's a smaller pool. Okay, so that's just an update.
Website demonstration.
And Ashley, just kind of just so we're hoping to go live here in a week or two.
Lights.
You want me in there? The lights have made up their own mind.
Well, there's always a ballast out or something.
I think it has to do with the tire they put in inside.
Do we have any pages?
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you go show whatever you'd like. Patty's actually been putting on. There's agendas and minutes.
Go down a little.
Yeah. So you can go ahead and pick out. There's the audios on there. The agenda, the right-hand column would have information like the things that we send you, and then obviously the minutes. So it's up to date. 3:23. That's the work session that's coming. Actually, I think we'll want to cancel that. But anyway, there's urban renewal for Thursday night. She just put out the agenda.
All right.
So go ahead. Let's go look at economic. Well, we need that.
Can we look at our ordinance connection
here homepage? Let's go to business. Okay.
This is kind of cool. So all these ordinances, you can open the ordinance here, or you can link this link will take you to the agenda where that ordinance was adopted. So you have questions about what else happened at that meeting, you can just go straight to it.
That's nice. So that was our February when we had the three ordinances. So that our staff's been updating all this stuff. Let's go to the business page or something.
So that search, if I want dog, do you put up there like dog?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Yeah. That's what it's for.
Is that what it's for?
I'm pretty sure. I know in the agendas and minutes part, if you searched quorum, every single one of them would show up.
Okay.
Because every single agenda or minutes has the word quorum in it.
Okay.
Here's your business page.
And Jerry was working with them on this. Does this look like anything you've given them, or where are you? You need to. Yeah, I'm trying
on the draft. It doesn't look like that's been reflected here.
Yeah, why don't you check in on that? Jerry's handling kind of that side of then where it goes and links and.
Any bids that we have out like that?
You also talked about garage sales and that kind of stuff.
Let's see if we have any garage sales.
Doubt any. Well, no one could because no one knows it's here. We don't have it out yet. Go ahead and click on it.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Nothing.
It's not, yeah, so they haven't activated it.
Well, I haven't tried this yet, but I think you can pay your utility bill from the website.
Why don't you go back to that?
A question about something that just came up. I know I'm not on the council. Maybe I can or can't. I don't know.
You got 2 minutes.
About less than that. Is there a section for maybe an emergency notices or something? Because I don't know if anybody else got caught up with the closure yesterday, but that might be something to consider.
Well, actually,
the highway got closed from an accident yesterday.
The trick would be it's going to have to automatically happen because on Saturday at 10 a.m., we're not here to tell someone there's an emergency or that it's over. We're not set up for 24/7 type things, and I think to a degree, you want to make sure when people are looking for emergencies, they go to places that operate 24/7. Now, I don't know that our website is, you better go to ODOT. Now, we can have a link that would take you to the ODOT site, but you would have to do that,
I agree, and one of the things that I was on the fire department's website today, and they've got a group of important links down one side, on one page or another, and it's all of those emergency or first responders, so Red Cross, all those kinds of things. So a link to the fire department might be the answer to that. So
Yeah, and actually, I'm sure there's links to all of them up under community. There's fire protection, library, state park.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Parks and Rec. So that's coming. We're just waiting, you know, again, we're waiting. I got to get my, have it over here, the agreement signed on these photos. And then, and part of it is you just get it live and then we'll update and you'll learn as you go a little bit and they'll activate. The website company keeps asking me, you know, when are you ready, so that they'll do their final things. And but right now I don't have a signed agreement on those photos. It would be illegal for this to go on up because we don't own those photos. That photo right there was taken by a private photographer that runs a private business, and unlike the public who takes photos and does things with them, we can't. You know, even that one was taken by the photographer. Now some of you have probably been down to the parade and got photos. And I am going to change the pizza one and the industrial park with snow on the ground. I can go out with my Instamatic and do that. So
I have something newer than the Instamatic for
you. Yeah. And then our code, there's code enforcement. Why don't you click see what that
see
shows.
If this is, you have the complaint form and you can download and print it. Someday people will be able to get this. Somewhere there's a Philip, Patty's done all the website stuff. We walked through it the first day together, and then after so that, Patty just took it and ran with it.
So you can print that out, but there should be a fillable form.
There is, and I don't know where it is.
Yep, on here. So we need to find out about that. But you'll be able to just fill it in.
Is that down on the drop down menu on the front, on the home page? On the buttons on the home page, maybe?
I don't think so.
There may be fillable forms though if you go up under.
They may not have changed it because when you call up a PDF file like that one was, mm-hmm. There's actually, you know, two ways to display it. You can actually have somebody fill that in or download it. But I just didn't turn that part on yet.
Mm-hmm. Forms directory.
That's where it just was.
Okay, maybe try a different form maybe.
Well, maybe. Let's try.
Those are attachments. Those should be.
Well, but what Jerry's saying is, no,
yeah.
It's
so it's coming, but we should hopefully in a couple weeks we
you
got cards to mail
out.
You
can click in here and it'll highlight this area blue, and you can type, okay, I want to be the commissioner. And that's a separate, it's just like this, except there's each section you can put words in. I think most people fill out fillable forms online.
Yeah, it's obvious it's a fillable form when they're fillable form. But we're going to try to take the main ones that we do. Applications would be one of them, like that advisory committee. You'll be able to fill it in because no one has a typewriter anymore and no one can write because you can't spell. So we have to make it to where you can type it and spell check you, and then you just hit submit and then we get it. We can get you signed up to be, you know, a college professor.
Okay. Let's move along then. Any questions, Council? Any comments? I'm sure we'll be hearing more as we go down the road. Okay. Approval of Urban Renewal Steering Committee.
Yep. You've got the names there. And we have two open spots that we are going to fill with possibly a banking person and so on. But this is our group, and the left-hand column kind of gives you where are they, what are they, a public entity or community-based or private business, and we try to balance it out. The public ones are fairly, you need to do it. It's not required by statute, but it helps you get the thing approved. So, like you say, Ben Lapine School District. We didn't pick Ben Lapine School District. I emailed the school superintendent. They chose. Parks District chose, and Deschutes County Library, and the county chose Tony. So it was kind of from those things. And the fire district still has not responded. They're not that excited about urban renewal. And you know, some groups, if they're not excited, they like to participate and help influence. Then there's groups who, you know, that choose, if they don't like the topic of the discussion, to not participate in the discussion. Then they're elected officials, and they'll decide what their role is. And so we will keep the spot for them whether they fill it or not. It's there. And then we had a business person actually drop out due to health reasons in the family, and that person would have been great, and they were all excited. But anyway,
that is the group we kind of tried to cover, someone from LIGI, the chamber director, nonprofits, someone from the planning commission you want, and then mid-state because of utilities, and we're getting Dave Schneider himself, I think that's important, getting the manager.
Yeah, right.
Not sending someone else down. This meets only three times. We meet next Tuesday, or next Thursday at 5:30. We'll be here about 2 hours. The meetings are open to the public, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
But I do want your consensus approval on the group, and then we may be adding, obviously, a couple people will join it.
Any questions, council? Hearing none, I will ask for a motion to approve the list and allow the city manager the opportunity and option to fill that third person from some of the, or that one opening from several that he has in mind.
So moved.
So moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Let the record reflect that the vote was unanimous and it's approved. Clean up property, chainsaw creation site.
You know, because of their, there's lots of community interest, and you know, we're responsible for helping build that. That's a good thing. So, you know, getting a lot of calls and people want to know about the cleanup of it. People want to help clean up. You know, the church group was volunteering, and some other people are calling. And you know, I think that I just wanted you to kind of give you an update. That's going to take some time, and you know, how much cleanup the public can do is still to be worked out. So people need to all just relax. It's taken a long time. The man just left last week, and you'll notice some of the items in there are far bigger than any community people can do. There's appliances and things, and pretty all goes out as people getting nails through their feet and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, at this point, it's not a place for the community, and we have no authorization on private property to send the community. And when I was out there, I've been out there every day, and the owner that's the bigger owner is out. He is cutting up the wood, trying to sell some of it. He's got the neighbor down at the other end cutting up wood, trying to sell it. They've hauled off some of the stuff. They're piling. He has a rented little track hoe thingy in there, and he's piling things up. And so you kind of got to let them do their thing. And then the middle lot was surveyed yesterday. You'll see the bright flags up there because no one even knows where the boundaries were. And so one of the buildings is half on one and half on the other person. So, you know, Mid-State was out there today to disconnect the power to the building. As I told Penn State this morning, well, you better, because pretty soon the only thing left will be the power, and the building will be, you have sparking wires. So, but I noticed the building's gone, so I guess the power lines came down. But it will take, it could take months. I mean, just realize, but a whole lot's been hauled off in the last 48 hours. But you have got a lot of stuff. And it's gonna take, I mean, there is just a lot. So anyway, it's being worked on. I told the church that to wait. He said they'll wait. And the owners do have a responsibility. And see, it's one thing to help, but not assume their responsibility. And that's the key. It's that sweet spot balance. And right now, the owners need to
do
some sweat equity there and put in some resources. And that's what's going on.
I think that's important, Rick, that we speak to it right here, because it allows us as a council to go out and when we get accosted with questions about what's going on and still not stuff happening, it's privately owned property. The person that was there is gone, and now really we have no authority to go in there, and they have to have their time to do their thing. And by doing it that way, then maybe later down the road there will be an opportunity for the community to get involved. But first, it's really up to the landlords and they need to do that. So I think that being the message, it's easy to deliver to those people who ask. So any yes.
I found out something purely by accident. My brother-in-law wanted to get rid of the TV, and he offered it to several of the organizations around town, and they didn't want to take it. And so he thought, well, what do I do with this? Do I put it in the yard and start gathering? He found out that in our property tax for Deschutes County, we are allowed to take refrigerators, washers, dryers, old couches, TVs, to the dump up here off 97 for free, because we pay for it in our taxes. So I thought I'd share that.
Well, okay, there may be more details to that. I'm not sure that you can take everything every day for free. Isn't there maybe some more? They do some special times.
There are special dates that they do for refrigerators, washer dryers, for tires, for batteries. The sheriff does the shredding, and there's a couple of others.
It's just not 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So.
And Jerry, do you have a short addition?
Yes. With televisions and computer monitors, there typically are some special restrictions because of some chemical gases that are contained within certain types of display screens, and so you might, you know, there might be some special requirements or special days to address that.
And that was the other one, one of the others, that they do have a day for that. They do have a time, so.
It is hard to get rid of a TV now.
Yes.
You know, it used to be you could put it outside with a free sign, and it went away, and some of my neighbors tried the free sign, and it didn't go anywhere.
Put $10 on it, and it'll go over.
Well, you could pay someone now.
Yeah.
It's sad.
They'll steal it. They think it's worth something.
One of the things out there with the chainsaw is you'll notice the for rent sign, and then he's already trying to rent, and that's where things will get a little more, because now it's the follow-up. Okay, you can't let someone just come rent the property, and there, he told me he'd already rented one lot, because there's numerous lots there. You don't notice it, because you don't know, but there are actually numerous lots, and he had rented one lot that has a building on it. And, you know, as soon as those words came out of his mouth, I was like, oh. So, I went immediately to hunt down the person, because they were down there working. And by the time I got there with my camera, they had hauled off a load, they were gone. But then I found where that person lived, and I visited that property. And so now I have additional reasons to want to work close with the next tenant. And so I'll be doing that. But again, it really falls on the landowner. The landowner, and I told the landowner, you have to realize, and all of you should know, you do not just got to go set up on a lot. It's a commercial zone, and if you're going to open anything, you don't just get to go out on a lot and put up a tent and then start selling wood
or
anything. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. And you have to have buildings that are licensed to meet the fire code. You have to have access from ODOT off the highway. And so this person will have to pay a $250 site plan fee for a minimum site plan, where they have to show an aerial of the lot, the boundaries of the lot, what they propose, what are they selling, what's their hours of operation, all of those things. What kind of signs are they going to put out? The plywood sign with the Ace Hardware spray paint isn't legal. So, you know, all those days are over. And this is going to take some education. But the landowners want to rent the property. So for me, it's not at all over there. My fight may just be beginning, because all we did was just change names and addresses. And so I'm going to be right on that, because it's easier to not ever let them get started. And I'm assuming the council is supportive of that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So we'll see where that all heads.
Okay. Anything else there? And if not,
no.
I will go to our added agenda item. And Stu, if you want to, do we have those from the skate park project would like to come up, please?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce Dreams Escape. Mr. Mayor and Council.
council. I voted myself there. And these folks are your actual board members. These two young gentlemen are the driving force behind it. Sharon Walling is a board member of the Park and Rec District, and she is actually their advisor and go-to person. I think, Sharon, if you want to take it from there.
I'd like to introduce Taylor Bush here, and Jake Brown. And there's a third musketeer who had to do track tonight. They've taken this project on and have run with it and doing a fantastic job. And maybe you could kind of turn around with that, Taylor, too. This is, you guys pick it up from here.
So we're raising money to build a skate park here in Lapine. And we're planning on having three stages. We're going to, the first stage is we're going to lay down concrete and set up these wooden ramps on there that we got for a really cheap price from Sisters Old Skate Park. And then we're going to take those ramps off and raise money for a full concrete skate park. That's the second phase. And then the third phase is we're going to try and build a cover over the park to protect the concrete so it'll last a lot longer and people can use it in the winter and when it's raining and stuff. So it should be pretty sweet.
So now I'd ask you to turn around to the council and do it again.
Okay. So we're planning on having three phases. The first phase being a concrete slab, and we're going to set up these wooden ramps on there so people can skateboard on them and stuff. Then the second phase, we're going to take down all the wooden ramps.
I think they're going to stay.
Well, we're going to do something.
And add to it.
The second phase, we're going
to
add to it and build a full concrete skate park. And then the third phase, we plan on building a cover for the skate park to protect the concrete and make it usable in the winter and when it's raining. Stuff like that.
And where is it located?
It's located at the old horseshoe pits across from the fire department, I think.
Okay.
That is property that the city is going to donate. It all will come through the big land conveyance thing. So we really appreciate that. And it will come to Parks and Rec, and it's a place to be wonderful for the kids to be to gather and. It's very convenient across from the fire department in case they break it.
So when you're done, it will be entirely whatever kind of cement it is they use. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Will you have those metal things that y'all skate on, and will there be some of that, or?
There might be. We haven't really come up with a complete design for the concrete park yet, but we'll see.
I think that's wonderful. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
In case you didn't know, there is a company here in Lapine called Liquid Stone Design, and this is their business. They design and put down skate parks. They did the one in Sisters. If you're ever over there, get a chance to look at it. It's beautiful. And they also did the one in Gold Hill, didn't they? Very nice young couple with two small kids, and they are all skaters, the whole family. And did you go over to there?
No.
You haven't gone over? He's put in a bowl in his house. Near his house. Sort of a little park, mini park for his kids. So we hope to work real closely with them and do the design, so.
What's the funding you're giving now? You guys are trying to do fundraisers. It looks like you got pancakes on there, so I'm assuming I don't know.
Our first fundraiser is a pancake breakfast fundraiser, and we're just trying to pretty much get off the ground and have more money to do more fundraisers.
Have you guys had that yet?
It's actually coming up next weekend.
The 22nd.
The 22nd, yeah.
Nice.
So, if council needs tickets.
$6 a ticket now, $7 at the door.
Yeah. She knows, yeah.
Where's the pancake being held up? It's the Parks and Rec building across the street from the library.
It's
you
not.
You donate the food so you make it all profits.
Yes.
Yeah, Joel from the Harvest Depot is donating all the food for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
And also, Eberhardt Dairy's giving us some milk, and we put out a feeler. I believe the Yayas are finishing all the sausages. So it's a real coalition of people that are pitching in.
Very nice.
Oh, yes.
And we're also having a pancake eating contest starting at 10 o'clock, so hopefully that'll be a big attraction.
Yeah. There's going to be prizes and everything. So.
But who enters it?
What?
Who's entering that? Anybody?
Anyone who wants, to sign up at the door.
For are you entering?
We have to serve.
And door prizes.
Yeah, we're going to have door prizes and maybe a raffle, so.
Well, you could always do a 50-50.
Yes.
You know, so.
Do that too, yeah.
You know, my comments are along the lines of, this is a tough thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's been tried before, so stay strong. You know, it's really important because people come and go, but it's on everyone's lips and mind to have one of these. So there's a great deal of forward movement on it, but you'll still need to stay busy, stay strong, keep your focus, and it'll happen.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. The next thing they'll be selling is pastas. They'll have it on a website, and they're these cute little pastas with all different designs. Mm-hmm. And they'll be there at the Rhubarb Festival with that. They're going to skate in the parade and have a game booth at Frontier Days. So,
all right.
And then they hope to also on some Saturdays, once the ramps are up, or give some young people some lessons, some skate lessons.
You might want to contact the Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. They have a program where they will build things for you. They'll do the labor you provide. And you got to get on a 2-year waiting list. But I think the last name was Brill. I might have his card at home. But I gone to a small cities meeting, and they were building football fields, you know, skate parks, all kinds of things for different small communities.
That's real good information.
Yeah. So, you know, you could save a ton of money by getting the labor done.
We've had a lot of the local contractors step forward too and say they're willing to help. So. And Liquid Stone Designs is comping the designs and a lot of stuff too. So.
Yeah, it's quite a process to get on that list. But
yeah, that's a good idea. Uh-huh. Thank you.
You'll know who to contact for the
Yes, I will.
Council, anything else? Great to have you start. You know, you've got an excellent person here who is pushing it. Well,
we're pointing fingers,
you've got it on your you've got it hooked into you too. So, mm-hmm. But
yes.
That's great. You know, thank you for coming tonight. And keep us posted. Come back and see us.
We will.
Let us know.
Thanks for the support.
All right. Thank you again. And the next item on the agenda is public comment. We're going to get out of here by 7:30. No public comment? Oh, here's one.
I just noticed when I went on the website.
Name and address, please.
Oh, Gloria Fleming, Deer Forest Drive.
Either speak up real well or come down here.
Speak up like you do to me.
Yeah, there you go. I noticed on the current website, a lot of the information is not up to date. So is it because you're working on the new one?
Yeah.
It's just not being kept up?
It's transition.
Okay.
We're the ones spending staff time and money on two. We were going to be alive by now, but the photo thing kind of slowed us down.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Rolando Alonso, Medio Court here in La Pine. I just had a comment on the TV situation that you were. The transfer station in the landfill takes TVs from a homeowner up to 5 per day.
Who does?
That's transfer station and the landfill.
Okay.
We'll take up to 5 per day for any homeowner.
Free.
As well as for free.
For free.
And okay. we do it, the ReStore does it. We do accept TVs at the ReStore, depending on how old the TV was or not. It could have been denied at our store, but we'll bring it on over.
Right. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll move to staff comments.
We're working on just starting into the budget, so. That's and then our audit, I think now they moved it another week. It was going to be next week, so now it's the following week. But
So we're trying to keep working at the stuff they're going to ask of us. And so it takes time. And then tomorrow we will be working on BioGreen. And so Scott and I spent some time going over these are two fairly thick agreements that the districts had, water and sewer, with BioGreen, that the city was never party of when that all came through here. And so today I went through, and Scott and I went actually line by line and went through it. And you know, there are some things that are probably have changed. So we'll definitely have to kind of go through this. So I sent an email to our to Sharon Smith from Bryant, Loveland, Jarvis, she did the appeal, kind of that stuff with LUBA. Kind of ask her a couple questions. How long can something sit at LUBA? Because that case went to the Land Use Board of Appeals. And then it kind of went through some stuff. And, you know, the city spent money sending stuff, and the people who had appealed it spent money. And then it just kind of, they both agreed to kind of table it. But it's never been resolved, and it's never been pulled. So it's just sitting there. So that's hanging out there. The districts are no longer in existence, and the agreements are between BioGreen and the districts. What effect does that have on us? And the county was running planning when we, Deborah came and helped with the hearing a little bit, but they were, our codes the same. And so, you know, as I've tried to tell, and I did talk to Rob, Robert from BioGreen yesterday and explained to him that, you know, there's been three extensions. You know, we'd love to see, you know, development in Lapine, but you've got lots of new players. Liggy negotiated the land deal.
Gone.
They're gone. So there really isn't anyone left of actual official entities that were involved. And you just can't go sign an extension. That there needs to be due diligence at every level of where are we, what do these things say, what do they obligate someone to, because if we renew it, then we're knowingly renewing. So we've got to look at it. At the same time, we can't spend $10,000 reviewing and rewriting a document, as you said,
going to go away.
Yeah, so it's all of this, and you know, it's one of those ones that you gotta work it right, and, you know, kind of be careful how you go through this. Sensitivity to community people. Are you supporting growth? Are you supporting development? Are you creating jobs? Are you running jobs off? All of the things that are right to trip up a city and a council, elected officials. So I'm being very careful about how we say what we do. And, you know, I have no reason to believe that there's anything bad, but I can't recommend that we just authorize and support an extension based on what we know now, which is nothing.
Well, and I think the idea that all the players have totally changed, and that's, you're going to have to start somewhere. We're going to have to know that there's some reality in what can happen for us to be willing to spend money.
Right.
So, I agree.
I did get a response today. I was telling you about the next cleanup spot that I was working on, and I was out, took a bunch of photos of that yesterday, and I had already contacted the landowner prior, and then him and I have exchanged discussions, and today he told me that there will be changes at that location, so I think we will have things that people will like there, and so, you know, that's just kind of marching down through these the best that I can. I kind of try to spend a little time on that, and, you know, to keep those high visibility ones going. And based off your discussion last or 2 weeks ago or whenever, when ODOT was here, that's probably been a month ago, was I actually have a meeting with all the bosses at ODOT on how to move forward on starting the discussion of them leaving the corner at First and the highway, moving to a different new location off the highway and out of our downtown. So they actually bid on that and are, you know, and they were, and we were talking about land exchanges, BLM land exchanges, city land exchanges, and just different things. So I've got a meeting set up with that. And then did you see, we're meeting in Bend next week. DEQ wants to talk about cable with sewers. And they've requested that we meet with them. So we're going to meet with the bosses on that to find out what, I have no idea what their topic is other than it's sewers and cable. So we'll be doing that next week.
Going to get down probably to when does the city plan on going into sewer and water?
I think that their trouble is that they have, they, you know, how many houses are in Kegel? About?
300?
Well, do you know, 200?
No.
150 maybe.
Okay. There's probably, it could be 300 lots, but yeah, okay. So there's, and my guess is that, you know, every year you get if it was 5%, you'd get 7 of them with a problem. Because after they've been there for 20 years, 30 years, you have septic systems that septic systems do not go on forever.
Some of the old were old metal tanks.
Yeah. So I think then what happens is one, someone calls with a DEQ issue, then they're told to fix it is expensive, and then you start getting into the new systems. So I think, you know, there's this kind of every month or two they probably have some sort of a discussion. But I, you know, one thing I thought is that because of the groundwater study that just completed, that group, you know, they spent 3 years, lots of people, went to a lot of meetings. But now what? There's a nice report, and it sits nicely in numerous offices. So it was a nice process, and I went to several meetings, and there was a nice report, and it was a nice presentation. Okay. One of my thoughts are that if you think 150 septic systems with the groundwater situation where it is, with a sewer system that already exists, not a bad place if you're going to go grant money. Because see, it's hard to go out currently, find 150 houses if you wanted to spend a couple million bucks to build out a system. Where would you do it? See, so I thought, well, maybe the DEQ, because they ran that process, and they also will want some successes because they did the study, they did the plan. Now we need to go get some, maybe show some results. So Kegel could be, that's one of my angles, been thinking, well, if you guys are willing to fund the construction and make it work, we're glad to work on that. So, you know, that's, I don't know if that's where they're, what I'm talking about, but I think that is something for down the road.
Okay.
So it'd be good for us. On the 20th, the next spring vacation is in our couple weeks, and so we don't have anything for our work session then. And then see in April, I think we got like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, we're doing budget meetings, plus our council meeting. So I thought if you'd like to skip on the, I guess the 26th, Wednesday night, the 26th.
Oh yeah.
During spring break.
Oh, yeah.
So that you can all travel to California.
Oh, I'm just leaving the next morning.
Well,
I vote for it.
I'm going to be on the John Day River the next morning. With 16 friends. And so they said, well, Rick, you've got to be down here Wednesday night helping us load boats. Right. And I said, well, I said, I might be there loading boats. So see,
you need help.
You need to get a pass. It's at flood stage right now, 20,000 CFS, so we might have a quick trip, but we'll make the best of it. So anyway.
That consensus? No council meeting, work session? Okay.
And then we'll make up for it in April and May.
I have no doubt.
All right, that's it.
All right. Very good. Council?
Yes.
Comments?
Then.
Conrad?
I would just like to say I'm happy to see that skate park presentation. It means that I get to do part of my job, being the student to the city council, So if you ever need anything, communication between skate park students and the council, I'm more than willing to be that messenger because I see them every day without fail. So
very good.
I was really happy to see that. I'm eager to see how that progresses. So thank you.
All right. Stu?
Oh.
Kathy?
No, the only thing I was going to say is sometimes I just don't understand why we're, and I know it's a dumb thing, expanding on Huntington when Kegel is so needed, but I guess I don't.
So what's that?
When ODOT is going to, pave the road down to Huntington the rest of
Deschutes
the
way. County.
Yeah.
Deschutes County.
Yeah, Deschutes right. County, yeah.
Okay.
Why Kegel wasn't in there maybe
Kegel's
first?
Not a county road.
Wow.
County money on Huntington.
And but even if it was a county road, because
okay.
I think just so for educational purposes, what limited money, whether it's ODOT or the county has,
mm-hmm.
or the city, you put your money on collector type streets. If a street dead ends and just serves what they would call a local population, those are lower down the priority list. So Huntington runs from Sun River, it's a 10-15 mile long road that serves thousands of people going and coming. And so a Kegel, while if you live on it, you don't like it, but it ultimately is a dead-end road inside a subdivision. Now, so it will never come up high on, well, it would never come up on the state list, won't come up on a county list. That's why I said at our thing we were talking, I think for us as a city, Kegel for us probably meets kind of a higher criteria for us. So that's why.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Karen, you anything?
I just wanted to say to Jerry, I think your plan sounds great and you've done a lot of work on it. You too, Rick. One of the delightful things to me is that you pulled in North Lapine, making it all fit together, and that's good.
Thank you.
I'm just excited to see the progress out at the north end, the cleanup out there going on, and further south in the future.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all that getting cleaned up, straightened away, make our town a little more presentable when you come in from the north.
Okay.
Good work, Rick.
Somebody wants to see a chocolate factory out there.
That was me.
Yeah, I know.
It's called
your Pine Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. And it is 5454 Oregon State and Las Vegas for the
yes.
for the Pac-12 championship tournament. And this is the beginning stages, and the Beavers and the Ducks are playing. And there's 14:52 left in the second half of 54.
Thank you.
The only comments for the mayor are, is I sort of alluded to it before, but you know, as much as we understand that our economic development director works for EDCO, we have a major community board here, and it's called LED, Lapine Economic Development Group, and I think it deserves to be broadcast just as strongly as EDCO, because, you know, it is in Lapine, and it is the functioning group that is moving forward on economic development. So I'd like to see, when we hear EDCO, I'd like to have it preceded by Lapine Economic Development Group. So that's my only comment.
I'll figure out a way to make that happen, Mayor.
All right. Thank you very much. Any further comments? Motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Money.
Still 12 seconds. Just a second, the tape is still running.
My phone says...